PMDD partners, welcome to another episode of the In Love with PMDD podcast. I am your host, Dr. Rose Alcaton, your PMDD relationship psychotraumatologist. And being that I have PMDD, I have chosen to specialize my practice in helping PMDD partners to stop the monthly breakups. Each week, I will be providing you with my signature trauma transformational tools. Now let's get into this week's episode. Today, we are going to be talking about in love with PMDD, but do you want to be? So we're going to be exploring the question that I have been getting from a lot of my private clients, my patients. What I've been getting is I'm in this relationship. We're having these struggles. We're having all of these conflicts, these disagreements. We're not seeing eye to eye. Is it really worth it, Dr. Rose? Is it really worth it? And my answer to that question always is, why do you want to be in a relationship with your PMDD partner? Why do you want to be in this relationship? And a lot of times, you know, what'll happen is I'll get these cookie cutter answers. Oh, I want to be with someone. I don't want to be alone. I just want someone to share my life with. And then they stop. And what we do is we really go deeper. So I'm going to have like a session with you right now. And if you're taking notes or if you want to listen to this again and take notes, this will be like we're having a one-on-one because I'm going to ask you some of the same questions that we're really going to work through. Why are you in your relationship with your PMDD partner? What is your reasoning? Because if you don't know your why, then when things get really, really hard within your PMDD relationship, you are going to be asking yourself that question. Is it really worth it? Am I wasting my time? You know, that's always the question that these individuals want to know because it does take time and it does take effort and it does take a lot of, you know, emotional support and a lot of energy. And you just want to know that you're putting your energy towards something that's actually worth it to you. So let me ask you this first question you can answer on your own. And really think about this. So when I'm asking these questions, I want you to really think about it. Why do you want to be in a relationship with your PMDD partner? What is the first thing that comes to your mind? I know for me, and I'll answer for you, like on your behalf, but then you'll have your own answer. When I asked myself this question, because I did ask myself this question after, you know, I filed for divorce and I had my last breakup. You know, you always get to that point during a breakup where you're like, should I even go back into a relationship? Do I even want to be with someone again? Should I just stay single? And I had to really put myself through this exercise, through this tool of really understanding what it would be like if I was single. What would be the benefits? You know, I had to ask myself this question when I originally answered the first question, which was, why do I want to be in a relationship with a PMDD partner? It is because I'm going to pause again because I feel like this changes sometimes and that's okay for you. This is why you can do this exercise again and again and again, because it may change for you at different points in your life. But I know for me, when I originally wanted to be in a relationship, I always said, I want to be in a relationship with someone who can give me something that I cannot give myself. Someone that can give me something that I cannot give myself, because I'm so independent, because I do a lot of things on my own, because I value my me time, because I love who I am, because I've done the work for so many years. And this, I'm not saying this to boast. I'm just saying when you've done work on yourself for a long period of time and you're sustaining that work and you know what makes you tick, you know what you need to make you happy, you know the things that you need to remove that make you sad. When you know all of these things, you're very conscious and aware of what you add to your life, because you're like, this has to be something of value. This has to benefit me in some way, because otherwise, why would I allow another person to enter into my life if I essentially have everything that I need? And so my journey was really into finding someone that could give me something that I can't give myself. I knew that I could give myself peace. I knew that I could give myself joy, and it had to be something that I valued. You know, I value, one of the main things that I value is my autonomy and my independence. I value my freedom to be able to prioritize self-care and to be able to make decisions about my life that are in alignment with my values, and to be able to make decisions in my daughter's life that are in alignment with the kind of parenting that, you know, I would like for her to have. And
And I wanted someone that was in alignment with that. I wanted someone that could give me something that I couldn't give myself. And what I realized is that the value that I find in relationships is in companionship. It is in sharing my joy, sharing my peace, sharing all of my amazing adventures with someone. Not for them to really make me happy, but for me to be able to be happy with them. And so I found so much beauty in moments where I was able to be with someone and feel this joy that I had, you know, created. Like, say if I book a vacation, because that's my thing. If I book a vacation, if I say I want to go here and everything, and I book the excursions and things like that, and then someone is there with me and they enjoy those things, or I'm able to, you know, ask them what they like and customize things for them, that it makes me happy to make other people happy and for them to be happy with us being happy, right? I know that's a lot of happy, but happiness is my jam. Like that's why I have my motto is good vibes only when I'm in my follicular phase. And that's what I try to pour over into PMDD, because that good vibes only is literally the core of who I am. And so a lot of times when you're thinking about why you want to be in a relationship, you have to kind of know your motto for life. Who are you as a person? And then how is this person going to add value to who you are? So if my motto is good vibes only, then that means I need to be with someone who's in alignment with having good energy, having good vibes, being positive. I really have an aversion to negative. I don't like being negative. I don't deny that negativity exists, but I don't live in the land of being a pessimist. I'm a very optimistic person. And so what someone can bring to my life is to add to that optimism, not to drag me down with what could go wrong. Like if I bring an idea to my person and I say, hey, you know, honey, sweetie, baby, sweetheart, whatever I'm going to call you, I think I want to go do this. And then they list off, I say, I think I want to go climb this mountain, right? I want to go catch a plane and climb this mountain because it looks amazing. And I love hiking and it's in alignment with what I want to do. So I want to go here. And I just found it. And I saw that they have, you know, an opening next week, or they have an opening next month. And I tell this to my person. What I would like is for my person to add to my excitement and be like, wow, that's amazing. Like, you should totally do it. You know, like, let's see what that looks like, and really embrace my adventures and be happy with me, and not someone that is going to tell me all of the things that could go wrong if I went and climbed the mountain. Yes, there are, you know, there are mitigations and risk to everything that we could do. But if you live in the land of risk, then you really won't enjoy anything that you're doing. So I don't want someone that is going to be blind to all of the negative things that are in the world, because there's so many here, but I want someone that is going to just be on this journey of being happy with me. And if we have to explore the risk, we explore the risk, but we're positively exploring the risk. We're not like doom and gloom, like, oh no, guess I can't do that because of this, this, and this. Because what happens is when my optimism is met with pessimism, then I'm no longer optimistic. Yeah, it's harder for me to be happy with someone who's always negative. And I will say that. That's what I've learned on my journeys in relationships. It's very hard for me to be me, the core of who I am, with someone that's always speaking negatively. It puts a barrier for me. I can still do it, but it's harder for me to do it. And then over time, I tend to get bitter and resentful that my happiness is not just embraced and enjoyed and celebrated. It's almost like a hurdle, you know? So that's one of the first things that I answered when I said, why do I want to be in a relationship with a PMDD partner? It's because I want to share my joy with someone. I want to share my good energy with someone. I want to make someone happy, but I want them to be able to make themselves happy. I just want to add to their happiness. I want to add to someone else's happiness, add to someone else's peace, add to someone else's joy, add to someone else's purpose in this life. Like, I truly believe that we all have a purpose, a God-given purpose, a talent that we've been given, a gift that we've been given. And I want them to be living in their purpose and me to just support them and add to that. And I, 'cause I know that's one of my strong suits. I'm very supportive I'm very, you know, actively supportive. Like, I'll get in there with you and like whatever it is that you have going on, I will add value. I will 100% add value to whatever your purpose is in your life. And I want to give that to someone. I want to give the gift of me to someone. And I'm not saying that in a very, you know, egotistical way. It's just, I believe that everybody has gifts and talents. So I believe someone has the ability to do that for me. They have the ability to take their gifts and talents and add to my life in a way that makes it better. So that's my reasoning for wanting to be with a PMDD partner. So I want you to ask yourself, when you're thinking about being in a relationship, and this is for you that are dating, or even if you're already in a relationship, this will help center you. Why do you want to be in a relationship with your PMDD partner? And then the next question I want you to ask yourself is, what do you need your partner to contribute to the relationship? So I kind of answered that a little bit on mine. I need my partner to add their positivity, add their creativity, add their gifts and talents to, you know, to the relationship. You know, there are weaknesses that I have, and I'm very aware of my weaknesses. That's another thing that I really encourage you to do, is not just to focus on your strengths, but be aware of your weaknesses. And one of my weaknesses is time management. And one of my other weaknesses is sense of direction. I tend to, with time management, I just have so many things that I want to do. So if I have an extra 5 minutes, I will add another task into those 5 minutes, which will probably make me late for the original thing that I was going to do. But that's just something that I know is a part of my personality, who I am as a person. And I say weakness, not in the sense that it makes me weak, but just something that I'm always consistently working on, because I know how that can come off to other people. Everybody values their time, and I don't want to offend anyone by me having a, you know, different time management system. But I do notice that it's something that I consciously have to work on. So I would want someone that, you know, is number one, patient with me. Patience and kindness is really important for me. So what I would want someone to add to my life is someone that is patient with me and my weaknesses, not someone that throws it in my face or makes me feel bad about it. But someone that's just patient and kind and knows who I am, can see my heart and know that if I'm late, it's not because I'm being disrespectful of your time, or it's not like I'm sitting around, you know, watching TV. And it's like, understanding the truth of who I am, saying Rose is probably doing something for someone else, or she was probably doing something that she needed to get done. So if she's 5 minutes late, that's fine. Give me that grace. I need someone in my life that can give me grace for that and not make me feel bad about something that I'm consciously working on and aware of, but I genuinely do it with, you know, a good heart, right? If I was maliciously trying to be disrespectful, that's one thing, you know, then yeah, call me out on it and tell me, you know, why it's not good. But if you know the core of who I am, then you know if I'm late that it's not, you know, I'm doing something for my daughter or my dog or stuff like that. So I would want someone to add grace, you know, just taking it easy on me, being kind to me, being patient with me. You'll get way more out of me with honey than you know, what is that saying? Like you get more bees with honey than you do with something else. Basically, if you yell at me, cuss me out, and you stress me out, and you have really, really bad anxiety over me being late, then 9 times out of 10, I'm probably going to be late again, because it's going to cause me to have anxiety, and it's going to just, I don't know, it's going to cause us to have conflict, versus someone that is kind and loving and sweet. And it's just like, it's okay, babe. Like, I understand, you know, let's just try better next time. You know how you have to be with some kids, that you just, you know, some kids you can yell at and they really respond very well to it, and it makes them, and then some kids you yell at and it makes them break down, and they're not productive with it. So it's about knowing your audience. I'm the kid that you yell at me and you cuss me out and you all this, and it's hard for me to function, because now I'm feeling horrible about myself and it's ruining the mood. And so you can rush me into doing something, but you're going to rush me to be on time for something that you're not even going to enjoy me being there, because now I'm going to be shut down because my feelings are going to be hurt. Right. So I just know for me, that doesn't work for me. So you have to know what makes you tick. So when you're thinking about what do you need your partner to contribute to the relationship, I need kindness and I need gentleness and I need love for me. That's what I need. Somebody might need, you know, something more aggressive, but I want you to ask yourself that question. What do you need your partner to contribute to the relationship? Do you want something that's just somebody that's just going to come in and take charge and tell you what to do and all of these things, and that makes you feel comfortable and good? That's fine. Like, I have private clients that are like that. They were like, I want somebody that's going to take charge, tell me what to do and all these things, and I'm fine and I'm good with it. And that's great for them. That's just not for me. And I have to know that. So, and the reason why I say you have to know that, because when you're in the dating phase, if you notice that this person has these tendencies to just come in and do all these things and not really care about your emotions and your feelings, they care more about getting things done, then you have to be cognizant of that and say, is this something that I can handle? Because everybody can't handle that. Just like everybody can't handle someone being nice and sweet and kind to them, they take it as a sign of weakness and they'll run all over them. I've seen that too so many times where I've seen the sweetest individuals be in the relationship and they're so sweet, they're so kind, they're so nurturing, they're so patient, they're so all of these things, and they get in a relationship with someone that runs all over them because they don't respect someone like that. They don't respect those qualities. They don't value them. And if somebody doesn't value and respect the qualities that you have, they will 100% take you for granted and they will run all over you. And you'll regret it. So you have to really understand who you are and what kind of person you want added into your life and the relationship. And the next thing is, and this is so important with PMDD, when you are suffering at your worst, what do you need most from your partner? I'm so glad that I came up with this question. Again, not in an egotistical way, but when I started to ask this question, there was so much clarity that came from me asking my clients this question and even asking myself this question. Because a lot of times you'll say, I want my partner to be more supportive. I want my partner to be more supportive, but you're not explaining what that looks like. And you're not even able to articulate it to your partner. And you have a really hard time figuring it out for yourself. But when you ask yourself this question, it almost forces you to answer what kind of partner you want or what do you need your current partner to do. When you are suffering at your worst in PMDD, take a moment and think back to that. When is the last time you were really suffering in PMDD?
PMDD lovers, I am so excited to announce my latest course called Dating and PMDD. You asked and I answered. For all of you single PMDD partners wanting to get in a relationship, or maybe you're currently dating and you're having some struggles with trying to navigate your PMDD symptoms, or if you're the partner that's thinking about dating someone who has PMDD and you really just want to know how to do it the right way. So we're going to go through 8 weeks of intense training with workbooks where we're going to be going over all of these different topics, and we're going to have live Q&As. You're going to be able to watch the recordings whenever you feel like it, whatever time zone that you're on. So week one, we're going to be discovering your why. Why do you want to date with PMDD? Why do you want a partner? We need to understand the foundation of that. Week two, we're going to be talking about what makes a supportive PMDD partner. All of my clients always say all the time, I just want a supportive PMDD partner. So I'm going to show you exactly what that looks like when it comes to PMDD. Week three, is going to be boundaries in PMDD, communicating those needs. What is it that you need? What is it that you don't need specifically when you go into PMDD? Week four is going to be PMDD attachment styles. When you go into PMDD, are you an avoidant? Do you have an anxious attachment style? What kind of partner should you date if you have a different attachment style in PMDD? Week five is the PMDD intrusive thoughts. When you're going through that texting phase and you're not really knowing what to do with that anxiety of, should I text? Should I not text? Should I tell them that I have PMDD? When should I tell them that I have PMDD? How should I tell them that I have PMDD? I'm going to give you the exact blueprint of what to say when you have PMDD and you're dating someone that you're wanting to be in a relationship with. Week six is going to be dating through each phase of your cycle. So every single time that you go through your ovulation, your menstruation, your follicular phase, and your luteal phase, when you're dating, you're going to be impacted differently. And I'm going to tell you how to date, when to date, which phase of your cycle is more beneficial and which phase is more so you need to kind of pull back a little bit so that you don't do any damage and that you don't scare away a potential PMDD partner. Week seven is how dating affects your PMDD symptoms. Because when you begin to date, you will have your PMDD symptoms magnified. So I'm going to tell you what to look out for so that you're not surprised, so that you don't feel like you need to stop the dating process or like you're doing something wrong. I'm going to tell you what to expect and what to do to cause your PMDD symptoms to be minimally affected when you're dating. And then the last week eight is going to be how to detach yourself from the PMDD dating process and just have fun and open yourself up to the possibility of having an amazing PMDD
PMDD partners. So go to www.inlovewithpmdd.com. We start on May 1st and you'll be able to watch the recordings whenever you get this. And you're going to want to get the workbook and everything that's included. I look forward to seeing you in there. We got this. Love you. I know for me, if I think back to the last time I was suffering, it was actually this last PMDD round. I had a very bad, long PMDD month, and I really struggled with overthinking and intrusive thoughts. I was overthinking my thoughts so bad that it caused me to have really bad anxiety first thing in the morning. When I went to bed at night, it affected my sleep because I was questioning everything. Well, why did this happen? Or what if this happened? And what if when you start asking the questions of what if, you take yourself down a rabbit hole and you begin to get into the realm of fear. You know, you get into the, what if this doesn't work out? What if I can't, you know, fix my relationship? What if next month is worse than this month? Like, what starts to happen in your body when you start asking yourself those what if questions? You start to feel a lot of fear. You start to feel a lot of anxiety and you start to feel a lot of stress, and then you start to feel depressed. And I went through all of that because I started to second guess a lot of the decisions that I had made. I was like, what if this? What if I could have done this? What if I could have done more? What if I? And it didn't lead me anywhere except into the land of more suffering. And so that was me at my worst. So the question is, when you are suffering at your worst in PMDD, what do you need most from your partner? What I would have needed from my partner would be, again, kindness, gentleness, and reassurance. What that looks like, because I always say, well, what does that look like? What that looks like is if I'm overthinking and I'm going to my partner and I'm saying, I just don't know, like, what if I should have done this? Or what if I didn't do this right? Or like, what if I should have did this better? Or what if this, or what if you deserve better? Or what if you wake up one day and you don't want to be in this relationship? Or what if you meet someone else that doesn't have PMDD and you want to be with them? Or what if you wake up one day and you're just not happy anymore? Or what if you're kind and nice right now, but then you get burnt out? What I would have needed from my partner would be reassurance and kindness and validation. So I would need my partner to say, you know, sweetheart, honey, baby, whatever they call me, I understand that this is a lot for you right now. I understand that you're having a lot of thoughts right now, and it feels real to you in the moment. So you're validating my feelings. So you're saying, I understand that this is hard. That must be really hard for you to be thinking this, to be thinking that I would leave you, to be thinking that you didn't handle the situation right, to be thinking all of these things. And then, so that's the validation. And then but I just want to let you know that what I can tell you to be true is that I'm here for you. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're presently going through, whatever it is that you're going to go through in the future, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here to go through it with you. So you don't have to worry about that. I'm not going anywhere. And I'm happy with who you are right now, even though you're suffering. I'm grateful to be in your presence. I'm grateful to be with you. That would have calmed me down. That would have stopped the overthinking. That would have stopped the irrational thinking. And then physical touch, you know, a hug, a kiss, cuddling, you know, some kind of physical comfort to where I feel safe. I feel safe to be able to talk about my what ifs and my irrational overthinking fears. And you're not going to make me feel bad about them. You're actually going to understand that I'm suffering, see that I'm suffering, and seek to comfort me. And from my overthinking to not trigger you, I think that's the biggest thing, is that I would need, when I'm at my worst, that it not trigger my partner to be at their worst. And that's very strategic, because you have to choose a partner that is not easily triggered by the things that trigger you in PMDD. I'm going to repeat that. You have to choose a partner that is not going to be triggered by how you are triggered when you are in PMDD. So if I get triggered and I shut down and I need to go internal and I need to, you know, have more time for myself, I need to be with someone, then it's not going to offend them. They're not going to get offended. They're going to understand, okay, Roche just needs some time for herself. I'm going to go do a hobby, or I'm going to do something, and then we'll connect later on. Not someone that is going to be bitter and resentful to the fact that I've shut down, someone that is going to be understanding of it and that is going to be, you know, welcoming me with open arms when I process whatever I need to process. And again, not everybody can do that. So you have to really ask yourself, think about these questions and really ask yourself. Number one, I want you to ask yourself, are these qualities that my current partner has? If you're in a relationship, ask yourself, are these qualities that my current partner has? And if the answer is yes, then you're good. If the answer is no, then you ask yourself this next question. Is my partner willing to develop these qualities to be who I need them to be in this relationship? Are they willing to do the work to be more kind, to be more gentle, to be more loving, to be more open, to be more vulnerable, to be less critical, to be less argumentative, to be less, you know, are they willing to do the work to do that? Because if I come to you as Dr. Rose, the practitioner, the doctor, and says to you, I can get you to where your partner needs you to be. I can get you there. Is your partner going to be willing to do the work? If the answer is yes, again, you're good. If the answer is no, if they're standing firm on who they are, and that's just not me. That's just not who I am. People aren't really like that. If that's their response, if you go to your partner and you tell them what it is that you need and they say, that's just not who they are, you're in trouble because they're letting you know they're not going to change. They're letting you know that they're not willing to shift parts of who they are that is potentially going to cause you to suffer. They're not willing to do it. And you have to really listen to them when they're telling you that. They're being honest with you. So you don't have to beat them down. You cannot force your partner to do the work to become the person that you need them to be. You can't do it. You can't force them. They have to, number one, they have to desire to do it themselves, and they have to be willing. The desire has to come from them, and the willingness has to come from them. You can't force your partner to do it. And so if you ask them that question, and you say, hey, babe, you know, I've listened to Dr. Rose and I really discovered these are the things that I really need in a relationship. And they say, oh, that's just not me. You're in trouble. And I'm not saying that for you to break up, but I'm saying if they're not willing, you need to sit with that for a minute and think about what would your relationship look like if your partner did not change. I always ask my clients that when you realize that your partner is not willing to change, now come to terms with, are you willing to stay in the relationship if they don't change? If nothing, not because it's easy to stay in a relationship if you keep hope that they're going to change, because you're always thinking, oh, one day they're going to change, one day. But if they're literally telling you, I'm not going to change, are you okay with that? Because that you have to make a decision to be okay with that. If they said they're not going to change, stop nagging them. They're not going to change. They've already answered you. You can't present it in a different way, put it, tie it up in a bow and present it to them. Just if they're not going to change, they're not going to change. And if they say that they are going to change, then what does that look like? If your partner's like, you know what, babe, I see what you need and I'm willing to do that. Okay, so what does that look like? What is the next step? Because once you realize that something needs to be changed within your relationship, there needs to be some action behind it. And now we need to book those sessions with Dr. Rose. And now we need to put ourselves on a schedule. And now we need to consistently be working on this, because change takes consistency in order for you to see progress. So if your partner is telling you that they're willing to change, but they're not doing anything about it, then are they really willing to change, or are they just telling you that because that's what they think that you want to hear? Change requires a change in whatever they're doing. And if they get defensive and they're like, hey, if I have to change, you have to change too. That's a very narcissistic trait, to you bring up something to them and then they bring up something to you. So now you're pinging each other back and forth, because they're like, well, if I have to do the work, you need to do the work too. And you may need to do the work too, but what a narcissist does is they take the focus off of them, because they never want to be wrong. They never want to be the bad guy, and they put it back on you. Well, what about you? You do this. You need to change. Now it's like a competition. Now, because the narcissist is never concerned with you getting your needs met. They're concerned with them getting their needs met. Pretty much, if I do this change, what am I going to get out of it? That's their mentality. The narcissist will change for you, but it will cost you something. It's a bartering system. It's a quid pro quo, a this for that. Yeah, I'll change that thing that I'm doing that annoys you. What are you going to do for me? What are you going to change? Are you going to do this? You know, are you going to be more intimate? Are you going to have more sex with me if I do this? They'll literally ask you that. If I do this, are you going to have more sex with me? Are you going to, like, it can get very vulgar with a narcissist, because again, all they're worried about is getting their needs met. They're not thinking, oh my goodness, my partner is suffering. What can I do to better serve them? They're not interested in servant partnership. A servant partnership means I'm concerned with you, you're concerned with me, and we mutually get our needs met. With a narcissist, they're concerned with them. They're willing to give you a little bit, just enough to keep you around so that they can continue to get what it is that they need. You are their source. So think about that when you're dating. If you start thinking about these things and asking yourself these questions, the way to avoid being with a narcissist is to really ask yourself these questions. You know, why do I want to be in a relationship? Ask them the question. Ask your potential partner this question. Why do you want to be in a relationship with me? If their answers all have to do with getting their needs met, there's your answer. I want someone to do something with. I don't want to be alone. I want this. I want this. I want to build a future for someone. I want to build a future with someone so that we can be a power couple. A power couple is very, very common for narcissists, because they want to be the couple that everybody looks at and that everybody gets the attention and everybody adores you and says, wow, what an amazing, because you'll make them look better. If they want things that are going to make them look better, that's a narcissistic trait. They genuinely may say, oh, okay, I want to be with you because you're this. I want to be specifically with you because, you know, you're smart. It's nice to want to have a smart partner, but with a narcissist, there's a reason for that. They want to look like they're with someone who's smart, which makes them look smarter in turn. Because your knowledge is their knowledge. You're a reflection of them. They want to be with someone who's fit. Your fitness is their fitness. Now they're with someone that is in shape and looks good and is attractive, and it makes them look better. You see how that works? So when you're asking someone that you're dating, why do they want to be with you? Think about if those qualities have to do with making them look better, or if they genuinely. So a person who's not a narcissist will want to be with you for reasons that are connected to an emotion. They want to emotionally feel close to you. You know, they want to have an emotional connection with you. They want to be around you because it feels good to be around you. I want to be around someone that has good energy. That doesn't benefit the world. They want to be with someone who has good energy because they want to feel connected with you. They want to be intimate. They want to have sex with you because they want to be close to you, not because they want to have an orgasm. They want to feel it, they want that to be an extension of their closeness. They want to feel close and connected to you. So they want to have sex with you. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to have sex with me because it makes you feel good, because you have an orgasm, that's a narcissistic trait, meaning they'll have sex with you whether you feel like it or not. When you're suffering at your worst in PMDD, they'll still have sex with you because it meets their needs and they won't even feel bad about it. They'll be like, thank you. Because you're their source. You met their needs. They have no intention of doing it for the purpose of building an emotional close connection with you. So really ask your potential partner these questions. What do you think that you're going to contribute to the relationship? If they think that they're going to contribute a lot of things that are, I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do this for you, like things, but not necessarily who they are. A narcissist will do stuff for you. They'll buy stuff for you. They'll check the block because they'll be like, oh yeah, I did this for you. Like they'll give you a lot of gifts and so they can say that they did something. So I want you to really ask your potential partner these questions and ask your current partner these questions and really think about when you're suffering at your worst in PMDD, is your partner the person that is supporting you the most? And if not, are they willing to get help to be that person for you? So I hope this helps you really identify if you're in love with PMDD, but do you really want to be? Think about that. We got this. Love you. PMDD partners, it is National PMDD Awareness Month. And in lieu of this, I have officially launched In Love with PMDD TV. On this YouTube channel, you are going to be getting exclusive interviews with other PMDD partners. I'm always going to be coming on there, giving you more tools, more things for your PMDD relationships to stop the monthly breakups. But make sure you go over and subscribe to my YouTube channel, In Love with PMDD TV, so you can see more of me. Hey, that rhymes. But I'm super excited to be able to provide this for you. And then also, if you're wanting to be a guest on the podcast, In Love with PMDD, where you're listening to me right now, or if you want to be a guest on the TV show, In Love with PMDD TV on YouTube, make sure that you send me an email, rose@inlovewithpmdd.com. Let me know that you want to be a guest. Let me know that you want to share your story. Let me know that you want to share your journey. And for the month of April, I will be having other PMDD sufferers, other PMDD partners come on and collaborate with me on the podcast and then also on In Love with PMDD TV. This is about spreading awareness of PMDD, everything that we're suffering with, everything that we're going through. I want the world to be able to see what it is that we go through on a month-to-month basis so that more tools can be provided. So I'm super excited. Email me, rose@inlovewithpmdd.com, or you can DM me on Instagram, as always, where I vlog my journey daily. But I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, we got this.